right, here we go. For immunity and reward. Survivors ready. Go!
Well, hello everyone and welcome to Survivors Ready. This is the show where we recap Survivor every single week. We never miss a week. And my name is Adam. Did I say that already? And I'm joined this evening by Fatty. Hello, Fatty.
Hi! And by the way, we also never miss a week. And every time we start the mixer, it's exactly the same except tonight.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, I've been using this same soundboard application on my iPad for 3 years now, or since I got the soundboard, yeah. And I opened it up and everything was gone. So I had to rejigger some stuff.
Oh, well.
Anyway, rejigger is not... Why are you laughing? That's a perfectly okay word, right?
It's a great word. In fact, before we went on the air, Sam was just rejiggering her sling. Well, so Sam, speaking of Sam in the Hinterlands, is here every single week, right? And you were rejiggering your sling because it's getting better, isn't it?
It is getting better, and I am so grateful.
But I thought you specifically had instructions: no rejiggering.
Well, pretty much, yeah. But you know how it is. You have to adjust it to get it to not fight gravity, and, well, you know.
It's the old, it hurts when I do that. Well, quit doing that.
Exactly.
Well, we're missing...
Don't do anything that hurts, and you should be okay.
We are missing Faye this evening because he couldn't be bothered.
Wait, let's just say Faye's not here tonight.
So I was catching up on Big Fatty Online earlier today. I listened to like 8 episodes.
That?
Because the reason is because normally I listen to you in the car on the way to work. And last week,
you hadn't been at work.
I haven't been at work. And so I wasn't listening to you. And so I had 8 episodes. But anyway, and you had some Faye Driver bit where he was, again, complaining about people's going on about their personal stories. Did you notice that even in your little thing, he was complaining about personal stories?
Oh, he's...
He was like, thank God I don't go on and on about the minutia of my life or something like that. I don't know exactly what he was saying, but something along those lines.
Well, you know, Adam, when you reach a certain age, nothing's going to make you happy. And he obviously has reached that age. He's probably, you know, he probably is sharding himself more than
now,
normal.
And he and I are the exact same age. You do know that, right?
Well, that's okay. But you see the difference in Faye and you? You are kind and gentle and happy, and he is the polar opposite. So... Anyway, and, you know, and it's only going to get worse. That's all I got to say. It's only going to get worse. So
I don't know how old either one of them are.
He'll be back next week, and he will bitch and complain about something. Guaranteed.
He'll bitch and complain about Jeff's outfit, or he'll ask for a personal story and then bitch if someone gives one that's 15 seconds too long.
Right.
Anyway, so, we love you, Faye, and we miss you, as you can tell.
We are recording on Canadian Thanksgiving, and we'll have to ask him next week how a Canadian celebrates Thanksgiving, because I'm interested in knowing if it's the same as the U.S. Because, and this is my personal story here. I know we didn't say we were doing that yet, but it was the year that Margaret Thatcher stepped down over in the United Kingdom, where you just returned from, Adam. And it was at Thanksgiving time. And I don't know if you know this or not. They don't celebrate Thanksgiving over there.
No.
So
I mean, no. I do know that they don't.
And
what would that be? Let's celebrate our defeat.
Well,
you know, I mean, what would
the hands or the
what would? Anyway. I think I know how Faye is celebrating. He's getting stuffed. So,
well,
I mean, that's
that would be the only thing that made him happy, and not necessarily by food, right? But there probably is some sort of protein involved.
I mean, you know, I don't know. A cucumber might, you know, you might start with the cucumber.
And Sam is going, oh, God, why couldn't I tell him I wasn't available tonight?
No.
Well, anyway, we miss you, Faye. So I don't have a personal story, but I was in England. Well, I will say, because I mean, I feel like I tell all my personal stories on my personal journal podcast.
Here comes a personal story.
However, this is not categorized as a personal story. I got so sick. I was in Amsterdam.
I heard.
And I was going to get up on Friday morning and go and buy souvenirs and
do a t-shirt, I believe.
Yeah, and do a nice little walk around, you know, and do a nice little walk around one last time before I had to get the train. And about 2 a.m, first of all, I haven't been able to sleep all week. All last week, I could not go to sleep to save my life.
So Whitman Tinker has been visiting you as
every single night. He's apparently migrated over to England.
He's like Santa Claus. He can go anywhere in the world on the same night and ruin it all for all the bad boys and girls. Anyway,
it must be an old age thing, because back in the day when I used to do a lot of traveling over to the Europe when I was college age, I didn't have any problem with jet lag that I recall. But man, I just could not. At 3 a.m. and I was still wide awake.
Adam, it's not jet lag.
Well, at home I do fine.
Adam. Well, right.
No, I mean, at home. I go to sleep fine.
You're just, hey, I can't get sleepy.
I couldn't.
I have to have some warm milk and cookies.
So anyway, you ever notice that when you want to go to, like when you know you have to get up the next morning? That's the worst.
I can't sleep at all.
That's the worst, because you're worrying. You're like, I've got to get to sleep. I've got to get to sleep. And then the more you think about it, the more awake you are. And then you can't. It was horrible. But anyway.
Well, by the way, I might just add, you've put Sam to sleep with this story. Anyway, okay,
so I didn't even wake up. About 2 a.m, I got the grumbly whatever, and I threw up, I bet, 10 times.
That is so hot.
Over the course of and it was horrible. And I don't know what it was. It might have been food poisoning. I'm not sure, but I'm okay.
It was probably jet lag.
It could have been.
Now I haven't heard an update on the mushy pea. If we haven't had a mushy pea update, what would you, no, don't say anything. Because I know you're going to cover this in the next Geeky Gay.
That's in my notes. Okay. That's okay. I haven't recorded it. I'm going to record that right after this. So.
Okay. So there you have it, folks. Tune in to Geeky Gay to find out if he got mushy peas or if he only just vomited.
Well, my vomit was mushy. So, I mean, you know.
Well, let's get into the show, shall we? Sam, did you have a personal story?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
How could I top that?
Did you throw up, Sam, just out of curiosity?
No. I thought I would after the general anesthesia, but I did not.
Well, it's very rare. It's very rare for me to do that.
I've got a general anesthesia story to tell, okay?
Okay.
Years ago, I had hernia surgery, and I had come out of, and it was right around Halloween. And it may have been on Halloween as far as I know, and I was my boss came by to see me, and that was the time that I threw up from the general anesthesia. And then someone from one of the other offices at the coal mine stopped by, and it was dress up in Halloween costumes day at work. And they came by, and she was dressed as a witch. And so I talked to my mother later that night, and I said, well, a witch came by to see me today. And she goes, okay, well, they've evidently got you on some good medicine. So you just get better now. And I said, no, really, a witch came by to see me. Anyway, go ahead. Did that want to make you throw up again?
No.
Okay, good.
All right. So Survivor, Now, we don't have, I didn't think about the fact that Faye was not going to be here, and we were going to be, I don't know if Sam is still taking notes, but.
I haven't, no, because my hand was out. Right. I'm out of commission for writing for a long time, for a while.
All right, so what, you mean you don't take notes with that hand in the sling and everything?
No. You don't have a dictaphone, Sam?
So I do have a little bit of an article, but it's not really a bullet point outline, so I don't know if I'm going to get every single thing, but we'll try. So we started out on the Laro tribe on their island, and they were kind of dealing with the aftermath of the Blind Side from voting out Molly last week. Mm-hmm. So everyone was afraid that Aaron and Tom... Mm-hmm. We're gonna be upset,
and they were,
and they were. I think Tom handled it, or he took it a little bit better. Everybody was like going to them, "Oh, we're sorry, but we really felt like we had to get so and so out," and you know, and Aaron kind of acted like he was okay, but then there was a little aside with him where he's like, "Well, I'm not gonna forget." You can forgive, but don't forget, or something like that. So anyway, so they had that little moment, which is kind of become, I don't know, that's kind of become customary. You always have the side effect of the vote shot the next episode, you know?
Right.
And then we get some, we start focusing on the women and Karishma.
Oh, yes.
And Karishma is, the women are out swimming in the water. And they're playing and frolicking and fighting and splashing and all this kind of stuff. And we get this kind of long thing by Karishma where she's saying, oh, I'm an Indian.
No, wait a minute. Go back. It wasn't Tom, was it? Wasn't it Jack? The one that looks like Kenny G?
Sorry, it was Jack. My bad.
Okay.
Thank you for, when I was reading that, I was thinking it was Jack, but then I'm trying to read paragraphs as bullet points.
I know, but I just wanted to, when you said Tom, I'm going, no, that's not, it's Kenny G. So anyway.
I wish I had some Kenny G. I think of that, well, I don't want to sing, but there's a song that I always think of when I think of Kenny G.
Okay.
Anyway,
you can sing it for wait. You sing it. Put write it down to sing the song for Faye this week. To welcome
back. Anyway, it doesn't matter. All right. So, sorry, Jack and Aaron. My bad. Kenny G and Aaron. And Aaron, Jack seemed to be taking a little bit better. Aaron basically said, well, I'm going to tell him I'm forgiving him, but I'm not going to forget it, you know, basically. And so then we the next day, I guess, because it's sunny out then, the women are all swimming and frolicking and everything. And Karishma goes into this whole thing about how she feels like even though she's part of the Women's Alliance, that she's on the outs because of her Indian culture. And she brings up the fact that, like, you know, when they're swimming, she feels really uncomfortable getting down to her skivvies and all that, because usually Indian women are very covered. So they were doing all that swimming, and then she does her little, oh, I'm an Indian lady, and I'm different than everyone, and I'm the oldest woman or the oldest person in my tribe, because she's, and man, doesn't that make you feel old? She's 35, and she's the oldest one, apparently, in her tribe.
37.
Oh, 37.
37, Monty Python joke.
So she was talking about that. She's 37, apparently. I was corrected. And she says, I'm the oldest. I'm a different culture. I don't feel comfortable getting down to my skivvies, yada, yada, yada. And but
they, you poor thing.
But they seem to be, I don't know. They didn't really, she was down to her skivvies. So I don't know how evident that would have been to the rest of the tribe that she was uncomfortable, you know? I mean,
can I just ask, there was all the women in the water and they were throwing each other around. I mean, it almost looked like mud wrestling without the mud.
What was your question? Was it mud wrestling?
Well, no. I mean, did y'all find that to be a little odd?
I don't know. They were. I don't know. That's a thing men would do.
Oh no! I that think. Was really staged. Girls don't do that.
I don't know.
I've been in lots of pools with lots of friends, and we've never thrown each other around like that. No.
Oh.
I mean, maybe people do. Maybe I'm the weird one. It could be. But no, I thought that I thought that was really staged, and I thought that, oh, poor me, I feel so hard doing this, but oh yes, I'm going to do it anyway, and oh, if my family sees me, die.
Yeah.
Production. I was just yeah. The girls are swimming. Nice. Very nice.
But do you really think production goes out there and says, hey girls, get in the water and throw yourselves around a little bit? I mean, do you think production really gets that involved?
I think they put the idea in their head and then they just said, all right, let's go.
Yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe. Anyway,
I mean, this is reality TV. It's still TV.
Right.
Well, that's true. But I've never been on a reality show, so I don't know to what amount that they do things. I mean, I know they shoot a lot of footage and then edit it back together to make it look like, you know, whatever they want.
But
I wasn't sure if they were like out there going, okay, you two pull each other's hair now. We're going to get a shot of that.
No,
you know,
I don't think they do that.
Now cut your finger down to the bone. Okay. Show us some blood, you know, anyway. So, while that's going on, apparently Aaron and Tom are getting the men together over in the bushes and they're watching the girls swim. And they're like, oh, my God, look at those girls. They're, you know, they are so close. And look how good friends they are. We need to really stick together. I mean, basically is what they were saying. And anyway, so what do you got? And they were talking about how they were already down in numbers, you know, versus the women. So do you guys think the men know that there's a women's alliance, first of all? Like, did they know there's a formal women's alliance?
I don't know about formal, but I think it's obvious that they get along well together. And that says, hey, you know, we're not out there with them. So.
Agreed.
I will say, maybe I'm wrong, but this does seem like the girls are getting along much better than normal. I mean, normally you don't see girls' alliances do very well in these types of either this or Big Brother. And I know we're only three episodes in, but those girls really seem to get along and, you know, they really seem to be working together. So if they keep it until the merge, that could be beneficial. So we'll see how that goes. But,
and this is where they were trying to bromance Vince also. Right.
The girls were?
No, the men.
Oh, right. So, yeah. So they were talking to Vince, and there was kind of they were like, hey, we've got to all vote together. And they were talking to Vince. They're like, hey, are you going to, you know, vote with us? And he said, oh, yeah. And then there was an aside with Vince where he's like, well, I didn't really think I was one of the guys, you know, but apparently they need my number or something. So he was like, I'm going to go along with whatever, you know, just so I can stay here. Because Vince has thought that he was on the bottom from the beginning, I think. And I don't know if he was right or not, but we'll see. So then we switched to the Vokai tribe. And we start with Dan going around to everyone and
that's the creepy one that wanted to touch everybody.
The one that wanted to massage everyone. And he was massaging, I can't remember her name, but the girl who doesn't like to be touched. And so Dan, so he was going around pitching everyone that it was going to be a really good idea to get rid of a bigger player on the next vote. So he was like, no, not a bigger player. He was like, let's get out Nora.
That's like, the one that talks a lot.
Yeah. He's like, she's annoying. Nobody likes her anyway. She's the craziest, the most volatile, et cetera, et cetera. We should all just get her out. And he goes around and talks to every single person, and they're all like, oh, yeah, yeah, we should definitely do that. That'll be a, you know, an easy decision. So first of all, what did you two think about him doing that?
Well, it seemed to kind of overstate the obvious, because she was sort of the target last week also, as I recall, because she's just freaking obnoxious.
Agreed.
And I think that it was fine, but it was sort of, this is the obvious. Yeah, duh, we're going to do this. We were going to do this before. We're still going to do it. It's easy. Nobody's going to get too upset. She isn't really close to anyone. It's an easy thing. That was the way I saw that.
I felt like it was a little bit early because they haven't even had the challenge yet. And he's already going around trying to throw out a name. But I mean, maybe that's always the way it is. But
well, there ain't nothing else to do.
Other than throw out people's names.
This is the second season I've watched.
I think they're conniving all the time. So
Jamal was not too happy with that. And he just wasn't sure about that. And he goes to Janet and he says, hey, I think it would be smarter to get rid of a bigger player rather than getting rid of Nora.
And
Janet is the lifeguard older lady.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I believe he pitched. Who did he pitch to her? Did he pitch Dan to her?
I think he did, because that was the one that made the girls uncomfortable. Because didn't he pitch it to someone that was, you know, didn't he make you feel uncomfortable?
Yeah, I think.
Am I remembering that correctly?
I think so. If not, we'll say you did.
So anyway, so he makes that pitch and she immediately takes it to Tommy. And, he says, well, you know, I think that was just Jamal's way of means of getting a target off of him. And anyway, so they go back to the Lyro tribe where we see Karishma cut her hand. And now, first of all, I mean, she says it was down to the bone. Did you see any bone sticking out?
No.
There was barely any blood.
Now, from where she cut it, there might not have been that much blood, but I think they played that up because if it were really as bad as down to the bone, she would not have stayed. They'd have had the doctor, whoever, come, and that would have been more than just Buddy splinting it and bandaging up her hand. I mean, now, I'm sure she cut herself.
She was being a drama queen.
Well, the big thing was, oh, nobody's looking at me. Nobody's helping. Nobody's I'm
laying here in prayer mode, and nobody's coming over to check on me.
That was a little strange. Well, yes, now, it's like you'd think someone would ask, hey, yo, what's going on? What?
When she cut her hand, she literally goes, oh, I cut my finger. Like, no emotion at all, right? She didn't scream or cry or go, ow, or anything. She's just like, oh, I cut my hand. Then she sits there with her hand cupped, letting the blood pool in the palm of her hand. I don't know if she's, like, hoping someone's going to see the... I thought she was going to, like, hold it out in front of people. Look, blood, you know? She's like, okay, this isn't working. So I'm going to go over to the corner here and I'm going to do a prayer pose for a little while.
Well, she was getting faint. She needed to put her hand between, and she was doing the prayer pose because she needed to put her head down below the level of her heart because she was afraid she'd black out. Remember, she was getting faint. And yeah.
Well, and the thing is, here's the thing. She's all mad that nobody comes over to help her. But if I had cut my hand, I would have gone, hey, everybody, I've cut my hand. Help me with this, please.
Yes.
Right. And she didn't, that's what I'm
it's
saying.
It's a two-way street.
There was no reaction at all other than her just hoping people would see her. I mean, she was like, somebody look at me, but she's not saying anything, right? So,
and it's like, I can hear them talking and they won't come over here. But you know what? You're not talking to them saying, help, I need some help.
Well, you could tell that the theme of this episode was she's the outsider. She doesn't belong, but yeah. We're playing that up. We now have two separate scenes of her being, you know, one of these things is not like the other.
And may I just say that this episode was boring as hell to this point, okay?
Oh, I'm glad that's not just me. I was thinking maybe it was me, you know?
This whole first part of the show was just nothing. It was filler. So, anyway.
Well, so then some mysterious black man walks up the beach
with a boat.
He's in a boat.
Well, he gets out of the boat, walks up the beach over to everybody.
Hey!
He's the boy in the boat.
And he says, he doesn't say anything. He hands him a note. And they read the note, and it says, Vince is going to Island of the Idols.
Overnight.
Immediately.
Yeah, everybody stays overnight.
And so...
And Vince is like, I don't want to go.
And so so Vince goes to Island of the Idols, and immediately there was talk in a Lyro tribe that was brought up by Dean saying that they needed to split the votes and have the votes be Vince. And I don't know if he said who the other person was, but everyone was standing there when he says this.
Yes.
Okay, guys, we need to split the vote between Vince and...
Well, he doesn't say that. He's just, split the vote. And everybody's like,
Yeah. And so, you know, everybody was there. So I don't think that was a good time to bring it up. But anyway, so he says, we need to split the vote. And so Vince goes over to the Island of the Idols.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it was no better than before.
I'm going to disagree with you here. I thought this one was the best of the three of them.
Wait a minute. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but Sandra... Let me teach you how to crawl. Who doesn't know how to crawl?
Well, taught him that military crawl, you know, the elbow knee thing. I kind of liked that, but I'll tell you the part I liked about this the best. We got to see a map of a camp. Now, okay, this is my second season. Maybe they've done this before. Maybe they've shown on the camera camp maps before. But to me, that was cool. It's like, oh, yeah, so see, they have all of this stuff. Of course they do, you know. And they're showing Vince a map of the other team's camp so he can do that. So that part was interesting to me. Mm-hmm. The fact that we all got to see that nice, pretty diagram there.
I'm waiting to see male showers, female showers, toilet. You know,
They did have some unidentified little squares on there. Yeah. They had it was interesting. But anyway, keep going.
So he goes there and immediately when he sits down, Boston Robs asks him where he's from. And he just starts crying immediately. And Boston Rob goes, you don't know where you're from? Anyway, so he cries for 5 minutes. And then they're like, okay, you have to be able to handle, you know, do well under pressure. So what we're going to do is you're going to have a challenge. You're going to have to go over to the other camp. You're going to have to steal their fire or, you know, get some of their fire on this torch. Uh-huh. And then you're going to have to bring it back without them catching you. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that, then you're going to get an immunity idol, and it'll be good for 2 tribals. Mm-hmm. And then Sandra's like, and I'm going to teach you how to crawl. In case
the part with Rob and Sandra is stupid, okay? But what they had him doing, I found interesting.
Yeah, that was a much better challenge. I like the fact that he had to go over there. He couldn't be caught. I was a little bit, I was wondering any of these kind of challenges. First of all, I have a hard time believing that everyone goes to sleep at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that they're all going to be laying there in a clump, all sleeping, mm-hmm. all at the same time. No one's going to have wandered off down to the water or sitting by the fire or anything. I mean, they're all, you know, conveniently sleeping. And,
well, and there's a camera crew standing there.
Yeah, and there's a camera crew standing there. And it's like...
And we're going to sleep through that.
I'm thinking like one of two things. Either it makes it very easy for you to sneak in and get the fire because they see the camera crew there and they just think you're part of the camera crew. If they really are asleep. Because several times a couple of them woke up and looked around. But if you see a cameraman there, I mean, you just think, oh, this is just the cameraman getting B-roll, you know, or whatever. And you turn around and go back to sleep. So, or it was so staged because they're like, okay, everybody, you have to go to sleep now. You know, kind of like you were saying earlier, Sam, about the water fight. Uh-huh. Okay, we need everyone. Lights out, everyone.
Well, it was like three separate people that were sort of woke up and rolled over and sort of halfway looked around and went back to sleep. Yeah.
Also, well, I wondered...
That you don't necessarily know that what they filmed was happening when Vince was there either.
That's true. They did start out, so I like it. Well, the first thing I noticed, though, was I don't know if you guys noticed, but when Vince left Sandra and Rob, it was sunny out. And then when he gets to the island, it's pitch black dark. What was he doing? From when he left until, I mean, you know, those islands are like right next to each other. It's not like, I mean, you don't have to travel a half a day to get to the. So what was he doing between leaving, you know, leaving them and getting to the island? I was curious about that.
Sitting in that boat with that guy.
I guess. I don't know. I got
nothing.
It was so dark. They must have waited till 2 a.m. or something. I mean, it must have been fairly late.
Right.
But
well, they probably waited and to drop him off. So,
yeah. Anyway, so that happens. And then he gets off the boat. It's pitch black. Somebody has a night terror. They're all clumped up sleeping. And someone's like, you know, screaming. And then you see that and you think, oh, they're all going to wake up. And, you know, and then no, they get that person settled down and they don't see him. And I don't think he ever uses the crawl walk either. No. But he does find the fire. It's raining, though. So the fire is out. And so he thinks, oh, I'll get some ashes. Now, I would have gotten someone's like bikini top or something. Because, I mean,
while they're wearing it.
Well, no, I mean, they've got some extra clothes.
Ashes were good. I thought that was a good thing.
I thought the ashes weren't bad either. So you have to bring us fire or something.
Proof that you've been there.
Right.
Yeah, there was no fire. I was thinking maybe they should say, you have to bring us fire, or if there's not a fire, you need to make a fire and then bring us that.
bring us the broom of the Wicked Witch of the West.
So he, you know, and they keep showing us shots of someone opening, I think Jack opened his eyes for a second, and then, you know, anyway, other people, you know, opening their eyes and looking around and then, you know, closing their eyes again.
I think that all of those things weren't actually happening at the same time. So.
Maybe not.
Probably
so
not.
Anyway, he gets to the fire. It's out. He gets some ashes. He starts back to the boat and trips.
In a mud puddle.
And nearly just rolls out into the ocean. He just keeps
tripping.
And then
he gets in the boat and it looks like he's crapped his pants. So
so I don't know. Anyway, so he's successful. So what did you think? I know, Fatty, you said you liked it. Any other thoughts about that challenge?
I liked it because it was different.
I thought it was interesting. I didn't know if they'd ever done that before, but if not, it was a good twist.
I don't know. I've never, Fatty's watched more seasons than me. I've never seen them have somebody steal something from somebody else's.
I don't think so, but who knows?
Well, they had the newscaster guy climb up on top of his own camp last season in the nighttime.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Reminded me a little of that.
Yeah, they've done that several times where you'll get a clue and they'll say the idol is going to be under your left toe at the next immunity challenge, or you know, right, or whatever, and then you have to, you know. Anyway, so I mean, I thought the challenge was good. Mm-hmm. But all of the Rob and Sandra bits are just hokey.
It's not working.
No, it was a bad choice. Bad choice.
Well, I guess if you know your profession is reality TV star, you got to have a returning season.
I guess.
They got to have some filler and you got to, I don't know.
Well, this was the filler episode.
Oh, for sure.
All right,
but then we're up to the immunity challenge, right?
Yep, we're to the immunity challenge. So there were stations of individual, the immunity challenge. They had to swim out, get a key.
They had to dive into the water
and then swim, and they had to go through these little, I think there were some little obstacles that they had to kind of swim through. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't remember very well.
I don't remember that.
They had to dive down, get a key, then they had to climb up, and they unlocked something with I need notes. So they
Isn't
had to get
this
a key.
The teeter-totter thing?
Yes.
Okay.
The key was tied with knots underwater.
Right.
They had to dive down underwater and untie the little float with the key.
Right. Then you went over to the teeter-totter thing and...
Well, everybody else.
And you had to use the key to... Wait a minute.
No, the key was later.
The teeter-totter was to get
the bags of puzzle pieces.
Then you had to use the teeter-totter to get the pieces of the puzzle kind of thing.
Well, I think there are three sets of keys. Regardless, all of our listeners are going to be so disappointed that we didn't know. But they swim, they get
this
one
is what
set of keys.
What happens when Faye's not here?
I know, right? Yeah. Faye, come back. So they swim out, they get a key. Then once they have that key, the rest of the tribe members can jump into the water, swim out. Then there's this teeter-totter thing. That's what I thought looked kind of like obstacles, because I think they had to swim through that to get to the first set of keys. They get up on this seesaw thing. They have to balance themselves while one of them goes to the edge of the seesaw and grabs this other bag of puzzle pieces or keys.
They had to untie it.
They had to untie it, and they had to, you know, each end. And those were, right. Now I want to say, those bags were not dangling close.
No, they
weren't. I mean,
a tough challenge.
They
it
were like,
tough.
I thought,
standing on their tiptoes, reaching out, trying to grab these bags and
holding
untie the
on.
Knots.
I mean, yeah.
And anyway, so then they get the puzzle pieces, and then they have to put together this dangling 3D fish puzzle. And I liked the puzzle.
I did too.
I liked it too.
I thought the puzzle was really cute. Anyway, so we started with Janet.
And it was more difficult than it looked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good puzzle.
Uh-huh.
So we start with Janet and Elizabeth swimming out. Now, does everyone know that Elizabeth is an Olympic star on her tribe?
Okay. Yes.
Everybody knows. Yes, she said that. And they were all, yay, the very first day.
And I mean, Elizabeth dives in just like she was at the Olympics. I mean, I was watching her swim and it looked like some Olympic race or something like that. The way she dove in there and she went under the water and then did a little bit under the water and then came up just like they do on all the, anyway.
Oh, but yeah. Very nice. Very, very nice.
Surprisingly, though, Janet kept up with her.
She did.
Now, we were talking about...
Well, she's a lifeguard.
Well, yeah, but was it Faye or somebody was making fun and saying, oh, come on, Janet's just the, you know, the pencil pusher, the manager of all the lifeguards. She doesn't really do...
That was Faye.
Yeah. Oh, Faye, when you're not here, we can blame everything on you. Anyway, so right. Faye, you know, was being ageist and thought Janet was not an actual lifeguard. But apparently, Janet knows how to swim because she was keeping up with an Olympic athlete. Anyway, so they both get there around the same time, but Elizabeth is a little bit ahead of Janet. But the problem that Janet has is she has to keep going under because she can't get the key untied.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth gets hers right away, and Janet took two or three times. So in the meantime, the Lyro team are able to get up on the
teeter-totter.
They're able to get started. And anyway, so then Missy was, you know, the one on Lyro trying to get the bags. Now, right. Both of the teams... Both Lyro and Vokai picked shorter girls, I thought. They both seemed shorter to be the ones to go to the end of the seesaw and get the bags.
Well, I thought that was because Jeff made a big deal of last person on the seesaw had to get the bags.
Right.
And I don't know that they knew that going in. Which means that the big, tall people would have gotten there first and gotten up first and helped the smaller girls up.
Well, and even if they did know, I think that they would have wanted someone light on the edge. Okay. And I don't think that they were thinking, they're too short. I think they were just thinking about weight rather than height and weight.
Yeah, I think you may be right.
And I was, you know, and I didn't hear the part about them, the last person up having to be the one. I didn't know that, but I missed that. But I was just thinking, well, I can see both sides because, yeah, you probably want someone that's light because you're trying to balance them and you don't want everybody falling in the ocean, you know, while you're trying to do this. But it seems like if you had longer arms, though, you'd be able to reach the bag better. Because it was way out there. It wasn't close. But anyway, so the Vokai team does make up a little bit of time, but Lyro does get to the puzzle first. And then we have, let's see if I have this. We have Dean and Karishma doing the puzzle. And we have Jamal and somebody else doing the puzzle for Vokai. Anyway, so Vokai wins, even though they were not in the lead most of the game.
Right.
And that has Lyro going back to the camp and having to decide who they're going to vote out. Now, there was an immunity challenge and a reward. And the reward was cushions and blankets and chairs and
a tarp.
So any thoughts on the competition? Did you guys like the competition? Any other thoughts on that?
Well, one thing, the immunity idol this season is not nearly as attractive as the one last season, in my opinion.
I agree.
The last season, they had that pretty jade sort of necklace looking thing. And now they've got this sort of, you know, driftwood objet d'art. And anyway.
Well, now there's this is not individual immunity. There'll be a necklace later on.
Oh, wait. It's still not. No,
right. We haven't merged
I'm
yet.
Thinking, once they, right. Yeah. Never mind. I'm getting it all mixed up.
That's all right.
I'm sorry. Never mind.
Okay. I do think it's kind of plain. It's just a couple of like masks, carved masks or whatever.
Yeah.
But we haven't gotten to the necklace part yet. There will be a necklace. Okay. There will be a necklace.
Okay, good.
Although they may merge into three tribes at some point and we may have two immunity idols. So
might be interesting.
We don't know. That has happened. I think that was even last season they did that. So
several times they've done that.
All right. So
they did. I think they did have three tribes. Yeah, they did.
All right. So after they lost, everyone goes back to the Lyro tribe and they're all talking about, you know, who who they're gonna vote off, and they've already kind of talked about splitting the vote.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so that's kind of already in the air, and I think that's kind of the plan that everyone was pretty much talking about. But Missy wondered if it was worth voting out a guy that could be loyal to the women going forward. Again, Missy being more strategic, I believe, right? Because she's isn't she the one who was also being fairly strategic about voting out? Am I getting confused? Molly? Is that the other team?
That's the other team.
Okay.
Okai had Molly. And they totally blindsided her last week.
Yeah.
So I got that confused. But anyway, Missy is wondering if it was worth it to vote out a guy that could be loyal to them. And as a counter suggestion.
Meaning Vince.
Vince, right. Because Vince, it was Vince and Krishma that were kind of had been tossed around. And they were going to split the vote between Vince and Krishma. So Missy was kind of wondering. And then Vince suggested taking out Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Due to all the, you know, I don't know. That he was saying, I thought this was kind of a weak argument. But he was saying that Tom wasn't very good at the physical challenges and that he was breathing hard in the last challenge. And I didn't notice that, but I just felt like.
I thought that was just BS he was saying. I didn't know we were even supposed to believe that.
He was grasping for straws.
Well, and then several of the females referred to Tom as daddy or dad or something
dad.
Like that.
No, they said dad. None of them said daddy.
Daddy!
Come over here, daddy.
They were all like, yeah, he's dad, you know? He's dad. Yeah. Wow.
And so...
Dad.
So... I don't think that was a good choice. If you were Vince, whose name might you have thrown out other than Tom's? Do you think Tom was a good choice, or would you have chosen someone else? Because I think Tom seemed to be very liked at this point, and I thought that was a very poor reason to say, oh, he was breathing hard.
Well, you know? I think Aaron is an obvious choice.
Of course.
Aaron or Jack?
Jack's the other tribe. You mean Dean?
No.
Aaron and Dean are the two young guys on Lyro.
No, Jack and Aaron.
Jack and Aaron.
Jack and Aaron, yeah, are on Lyro.
Oh, no, they're on... No, that's right.
Jack's on Okai.
No.
No?
Jack is on Lyro. So Jack, Aaron, Tom, Vince are all on Lyro. And then we have a bunch of women.
That's right.
So anyway, so he throws out, I don't think Tom was a good choice because I think it should have been apparent that he was well-liked by everything that we heard after that. Because all the women were like, oh, we can't vote out Dad. You know, and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, but he throws out Tom's name and then they're going back and forth and the women are like, well, we don't know. Maybe we should vote. Should we vote out Krishma or Vince or go with what Vince said and vote out Tom? And there was kind of talk back and forth. But that was about it. That's pretty much the talk around the tribe.
Tom's not going to win. So anyway,
well no,
he's not going to win, but I wouldn't have chosen him.
He's not going to be the
that's
one
what I'm
to
saying.
Show up on
There's
the
no
third.
Reason to throw him out because he
going
to win. So
not yet.
So then we go to tribal and we, and did anybody remember anything that stood out from tribal of the talking?
Well, Tom started running his mouth about this is silly. Let's get on with it. Blah, 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 blah. You know, blah, blah. You know, blah, 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 blah. He was being sort of snooty. He was being kind of like Faye. Okay. You know, he's just get off my lawn. Let's get on with this. This is we're wasting time. It was like everybody else was telling personal stories. And then one of the girls gets up and goes and talks to another one, and they're doing all that whole whispering thing.
Well, now it's
what the hell was that? I hate when they do that.
It started with Krishma. Jeff, you know, ask her, hey, do you think, you know, I don't know what the question was, but he basically gives her the floor to say how different she is. And so mm-hmm. she goes on this monologue about how, as an Indian woman who has children, who's older, she feels different than the rest and, you know, not like one of the sorority. And I thought, oh my gosh, that was kind of a negative thing to call your, I mean, mm-hmm. you can take sorority in a negative light. Mm-hmm. And I thought you might not want to be saying stuff like that when you're, well, I'm not like those superficial sorority girls. I mean, but that's how I would have read it, you know, if I was
right.
And a couple of them did have a face like, what are you talking about? And the girls were like, you're one of the girls. What are you talking about? You know, and, mm-hmm. and all this kind of stuff. And so I don't think she made a good choice by.
Well, she was stupid.
Yeah, that was stupid. And anyway, so we have kind of a back and forth. And then we have basically Tom talking about, he didn't say anything about voting, but Jeff was like, I think Tom wants us to vote or something. I don't remember, but Jeff was like, Tom's just thinking, let's get this over with and have the damn vote or something like that. And so they go and vote. And then when they come back and Jeff says, okay, if anyone has an immunity idol, now's the time to play it. Vince is sitting there.
Here we
there.
Go.
Vince is sitting
here
there.
We go.
Wait.
And then we get he doesn't play it. And then we get a shot of Sandra and Dan.
Rob.
Boston Rob.
We get a shot of them with surprise look on their face. Like, mm-hmm. oh my God, why did he not play his idol?
Immunity idol, yeah.
That's only good for two tribals anyway. So anyway, he didn't. So then we read the votes, and we get a vote for Tom, and then we get a vote for Krishma, and then we get a vote for
Vince,
and then Krishma. But anyway, it ends up being, I don't know how many for each, but it ends up being Vince who goes home.
I think it was just one for Tom, two for Krishma, and the rest for Vince.
And
it was a pretty big majority.
Vince had no clue.
No
clue.
He actually, yeah.
Well, he was talking the whole episode like, you know, I'm on the bottom and I'm not really sure and yada, yada, that's... yada, and all this kind of stuff. And then he gets there. He has an idol. This always happens.
I will say that when the women got up and started whispering in each other's ears, I thought they were saying, let's get rid of Tom. Okay. I thought that's where it was going. You know, that they, you know, Tom's being a poop head. Let's get rid of him.
Okay. Hear that. Wait a minute. Epic.
So anyway, well, Vince is voted out and he's just clueless. And
he was
and, bless his heart,
in the little deer blind shack, Boston Rob turns to the woman Sandra. Uh-huh. Sandra, and they're like, he's going home with an idol in his pocket,
right?
Like, yeah, that is kind of dumb. And then he says something about he brought it in his water bottle, and I'm like, well, why didn't you play it?
I don't know. So once again, from the very beginning of the episode, we're kind of told who is going to be focused on. So you kind of know. I mean, they start with both Vince and Krishma at the beginning of the episode, and it goes all the way through. And then you end up with, I feel like they're a little bit too obvious about who's going to be on the chopping block, so to speak, at the end of the episodes, because they really focus hard mm-hmm. on the ones that are going to be going home.
Yeah, but I think they also want you to start thinking that so that they can pull a fast one on you, too.
No, they didn't, because I thought it was going to be him, pretty much. All right, well, sorry, everyone, for this no-note-taken episode, but, Fatty, where can you be reached?
Well, I can be reached right here next week on Survivors Ready.
All right. And Sam, where can you be reached?
Also right here next week on Survivors Ready.
All right. Well, I can be reached at geekygay.com. We can be reached at survivorsreadypodcast.com. And you can find many more LGBT and LGBTQ friendly podcasts at pride48.com. And the tribe has spoken.
And don't forget, you'll find out about the mushy peas on the next episode of Geeky Gay.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Good night.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.